Good morning, and thank you so much for joining me. We're getting closer to spring. A lot going on this month. It's a very special month, though, for many families out here in Tennessee, especially for those with developmental disabilities, their families, their caretakers, because it is National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. And even if you feel your family does not fit into that, this is very good information because you never know, you may end up in that category in some way. And we're going to address many different situations and how it might affect you or your family. Let me first start by welcoming our guest, Amelia Crotwell, certified elder law attorney and founder of Elder Law of East Tennessee, managing partner of the firm. And Amelia, so nice to meet you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I appreciate it so much, Michelle.
Well, I've met one of your partners.
That's right, Julia Price.
Yes.
She was here last year to talk with you.
Yes, talking about elder care. And today I'm very anxious to talk to you about developmental disabilities awareness, and because this can range in many cases from physical to mental.
That's right. So developmental disabilities are kind of technically defined as disabilities that affect someone's body, their movement, could affect language, could affect their intelligence, their ability to learn, and their ability to interact socially. So these types of disabilities typically present before someone is age 22.
It's coincidental that you are here because I had so many questions myself being raised with a brother who is handicapped. He was born with spina bifida. And now being in a wheelchair, I'm basically his caretaker from afar.
I see. That can be really challenging, Michelle, but it can also be very rewarding. Mm-hmm. There could be nothing better than making sure that he has the best quality of life that he possibly can and knowing that you're integral to that, that you're a key part of the happiness and the quality of his life. What a pleasure, but also a big challenge, especially from afar. Uh-huh. So there are some great resources and tips that I'd like to share with our listeners, if that's okay.
So absolutely.
The first I would say is it is do pre-planning. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone in your life that you are responsible for or caring for or even concerned about, it's really, really very important that you get to see a certified elder law attorney so that you can get a plan in place for what happens if you become incapacitated yourself or you die, right? Because there are ramifications and consequences to that that you might not even really realize, particularly because a lot of folks who have developmental disabilities are on public benefits programs like SSI, which is through the Social Security Administration, or Medicaid, right? And TennCare. So if you are on one of these programs and you're enrolled and you receive an inheritance, it can disrupt your benefits. You could lose your benefits. And other people in your life, they're going to be scrambling around trying to figure out what to do and how to salvage things. The options are much more restricted at that point as to what you can do with an inheritance. And so it's really, really important to preserve all those options and the most flexibility possible to do planning in advance.
And why are the restrictions? Say, if this person inherits this money, and why would there be such restrictions? And what types of restrictions?
Okay, let's talk about that. If you are on SSI or TennCare or
which
Medicaid.
Means Social okay. Security benefits.
Yeah, so those are SSI is Supplemental Security Income. It's a type of disability income from the Social Security Administration. And it's for people who've never worked or contributed like employment taxes to the government. So they haven't earned enough credits to receive Social Security disability. So they get SSI, and SSI is $914 a month for this year, and it's supposed to provide all of your shelter and food. And we know that's not very reality-based because with inflation and the cost of living, you can see that it'd be almost impossible for someone to live on that. But if someone's getting that benefit, they might also be getting food stamps. They might also be getting Section 8 housing, which is subsidized housing from the government. And so they have all these benefits in place, and they're limited to how much money they can have in terms of income mm-hmm. and how much assets they can have. So if they have more than $2,000 in assets, they can lose all those programs. So if they inherit from mom, inherit half a house and a retirement account and some life insurance and some savings, all of a sudden they've lost their most important benefit of all, right? Which is what underscores their housing, their food, their medical care. And so we want to be able to protect and preserve that. If they inherit that, it becomes theirs. And there are special rules on how they can set up their own special needs trusts with those funds. It's possible to do that. It has to be done very quickly. It's a very strict timeline on that. And there's a payback provision in those trusts, which means that those trusts at the death of the beneficiary, or the person with the developmental disability, at their death, whatever's left in that trust has to be paid back to the state agency that provided a lot of their benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So we call those payback trusts or payback provisions. And, you know, those are pretty scary for people. If someone does planning in advance, let's say mom goes to see an elder care attorney and gets a special needs trust created, and she properly directs money there so that the house and the retirement account and the life insurance and the savings all go to that trust, then the property never becomes the property of the developmentally disabled person. So in that instance, it's called a third-party special needs trust. And with a third-party special needs trust, there is no payback provision, right? So then at the death of the person with the disability, that money can go back to nieces and nephews or grandchildren or other people in the family. And it's much less rigorous how those trusts are used as well. So significant advantages to planning in advance.
Isn't that a key word in all of our life from the moment we're born, basically, or that we could talk, walk, and learn, is plan. Plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Because my mother did not. And
oh,
I will
no.
disclose to everybody that, yes, I'm, you know, kind of fit into this conversation today because my brother, when my mom passed away, you know, my mom did not have a will. She did not plan. That's why I love reminding the community about planning. I mean, I need to plan too now that my brother is, quote unquote, in my care and I'm in charge of his trust. And sometimes I just feel so overwhelmed. You get people that tell you, oh my gosh, Amelia, I'm so overwhelmed by all this.
Absolutely, I do. And I think I have a pretty reassuring personality and presence when I sit down with folks and let them know, look, I know the ins and outs of these programs and how these trusts work. And my partners, Julia Price and Bailey Schermeyer, they're certified elder law attorneys too, and they know how all this works. And what you know, what people need is as an advisor, a partner in this journey of handling all these public benefit programs and supplemental needs trusts or special needs trusts, you know, and powers of attorney and incapacity planning and conservatorships and all those things that go into taking care of somebody that really, you know, can be very vulnerable and really need a lot of support. You got to sit down with a trusted partner and find your way forward. You don't need to do it alone. It's so technical, you might mess it up. Be very careful.
Like even the paperwork, and mine was based out of Massachusetts. And so it's like you read this paperwork sometimes, you know, between attorneys and for the courts and everything. And it's like, what does all this mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I can and cannot do.
Right. So there's some other wonderful resources. So if you're looking for someone that's really specialized in this area, there's a national network of attorneys that assist with special needs planning, and it's called the Special Needs Alliance.
Which you are a part of.
I'm a member of that. I'm very proud of that. They are really the most excellent special needs attorneys, and they're in almost every state. And you can find, you know, someone close to you by going to their website and checking it out, specialneedsalliance.org.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a member. It's an invitation-only group of attorneys, and they have the most wonderful education and lobbying to get laws changed to help people. So great, great resource there. They also have on their website a download that you can get. It's free. And it's the Special Needs Trust Handbook for Trustees. So someone like yourself could do great with that as a resource, you know.
Do they write it in English?
They do. It's written for the public. It's not written for attorneys or technicians. It's written for the public. So people like you can access it and understand it. And it will give you a wonderful resource for how you help with this trust. But then I would also suggest sitting down with your attorney partner and making sure that you're following all the agency's rules and, you know, regulations, and you're not doing anything improper.
Yeah, because you don't want the I don't know who would come after you.
You don't want them coming after
the
you.
The government or anybody.
Yeah, the auditors, you know.
The auditors.
Right.
So that money, usually in a trust like this for a person with special needs, they're already taken care of as far as their shelter, their medical needs, food, based on Social Security. Like my brother, he also gets subsidized housing. So then what are options that people could be using this? It's supposed to be for like entertainment. Is that what it usually says in these types of trusts?
Yes. So these are discretionary trusts, which means there's no mandatory distributions that have to be made. So the trustee decides how to spend the money. And they're not supposed to spend the money on things that are already being paid for with government resources, like shelter or food. So you can use the trust funds for lots of other things, though. So, for example, I have a client who needs a communication device. So she's not able to speak. And so we're going to get a really super fancy computer that will allow her to use her eyes to form words and sentences so that she can communicate better with people. That is a really wonderful thing that a trust can provide that she would not be able to afford otherwise. But you can also have you can have additional caregivers come over, take them out for going to the movies, or use it for Uber, for anything like that. Phones, Comcast, or internet, right? Or Netflix, things like that. Books on tape, all kinds of things that we can do to enhance quality of life. Sort of depends on what the person's interests are. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's travel. Who knows? If you're traveling, you want to take a cruise, you could pay for the cruise. You could pay for the caregiver to accompany you on the cruise. You could pay for, you know, all the entertainment and excursions there. So, you know, there are lots of things that can be used, the specialty trust can be used for. And the sad fact is a lot of the public programs that we do rely on, they don't provide enough.
Mm-mm.
They don't provide enough money or enough resources to really, for someone to live a quality life. And so the special needs trust fills that gap.
Especially if you have a sibling or a family member or a person you're taking care of, like my brother, who has a big appetite and loves to eat, you know. You want to treat him, but you want to follow those guidelines.
Right.
And so there's a lot of information on that website.
Yes, there is.
As far as that, contact your attorney.
That's right.
Your elder law attorney specializes in this.
Right. So you want to look for a certified elder law attorney. That's another national recognition or achievement to be specialized in this area. And all three of the attorneys at our office are certified, which is really unusual. There's only one other firm in Tennessee that I'm aware of that has three certified elder law attorneys. So that's something to look for. Is the attorney you're working with certified? Are they members of the Special Needs Alliance? That's another way to find a good attorney to help with these kinds of questions.
And what other, I guess, should we say, challenges would come about, or I don't, maybe some other concerns that you've had from maybe some other clients involved when it comes to people with disabilities, special needs, and trying to take care of them?
Yeah, you know, I think that there are.
I mean, kind of vague here.
Vague, yeah. Well, you know, this is a very rule-oriented or highly regulated area of the law, and it takes a lot of energy and time to master it. And if you're a layperson, it can be really overwhelming to feel like I have this huge responsibility and the stakes are so high. If I mess up, you know, my brother or my sister is going to lose this benefit that provides most everything for them. And so, you know, there's a lot of pressure there that can create a lot of stress. And, you know, a lot of us are the people that are helping. We have jobs. We have families, right, of our own that we're trying to take care of. And so, you know, finding a partner that has good information, good, reliable information about what to do next, what you can do, right? It will really alleviate a lot of that pressure and give somebody some of their personal life back, mm-hmm. right, if you're a caregiver.
And you also had mentioned, too, earlier, Amelia, about there's a timeline.
That's right.
Like, how much time do you have?
You have to make a change within the calendar month that the money is received. Could it be faster than that? I don't think so. So let's say it was received on March the 25th. If you still have that asset and it's not been moved into a special needs trust before March the 31st, if you still have it April the 1st, it's a resource and it can disqualify you from benefits. So it's not 30 days, it's within the calendar month that the asset is received. State programs are going to be reassessing people to see if they still qualify for their Medicaid benefits. That's going to be a huge next wave of effort on the state's parts, and lots of people are going to be getting packets in the mail they have to fill out and send back in to see if they still qualify. And what I would say to your listeners is it's super, super important. If you're on a Medicaid benefit, you better call the agency right now and make sure they have your address. Because if they don't have your correct address and they send that packet to your former address and you don't get it, they're going to disenroll you, and then you're going to have to start over, or you're going to have to appeal. So make sure they have your address for this redetermination phase that's coming up.
That could take several months, a long time to get back on.
It's something that's really important. So if you had just an error in your mailing address and you didn't get your packet, and then you're kicked off your 10 care, then your nurses are not going to show up. You know, you're not going to get your medical supplies that you're supposed to get. When you go to the doctor, the doctor's not going to see you because you don't have your Medicaid. It's not active, right? And you're going to be dealing with the agency, either refiling an application with all the crazy documentation that's required for that, or you're going to be appealing the disenrollment, trying to say, hey, you know, I didn't get my packet. And they're going to get a lot of those. They're going to be backlogged.
That's why you want to contact someone like Amelia Cromwell with elder law involving special needs and people with developmental disabilities and who need special care and special resources. And we want to keep those in place for these people. And you mentioned about some possible laws changing. What's on the horizon at this point?
There's a couple of exciting things, Michelle. One is there was recently a law passed at the end of December that allowed charities to be remainder beneficiaries of special needs trusts. And up until then, that was not permitted. So this is a great change for us because a lot of people want to set aside money for their family member with special needs, and then they want that to go to charity, maybe the Autism Society or something like that, at the death of the beneficiary. So that's a big new change. If you have a supplemental needs trust in place already from years ago, you know, you might want to look at, is there a way that we can make any changes or amendments to this to provide for charitable beneficiaries? So that's one thing. But there's also some pending legislation now to change the in-kind support and maintenance rules for supplemental security income, or SSI, to remove the classification of food from in-kind support and maintenance. So if you're on SSI and right now, you know, you get $914 a month and that's supposed to provide for shelter and food, with this new rule coming out, hopefully will be passed, food will no longer be in that category and it'll only be a shelter. And then that'll free people up to share food in the household more freely, or, you know, parents can buy groceries for kids or loved ones, and a great benefit for people.
Someone with disabilities or special needs, there's sometimes not a lot that they can do. So food is something that, you know, will make them happy.
Absolutely. It's one of the greatest pleasures in life for all of us, isn't it?
It is, right?
It's one of mine.
Do you have any other cases, too, that you might be able to share with us?
One of the things to think about is if you've been injured in an accident. We're not just talking about people who might have been born with a condition, but if you are injured in an accident, maybe you have a lawsuit going, you know, to collect some damages. If you're on one of these programs, SSI or 10Care, you need to make sure that your attorney for that lawsuit knows that you're on one of these programs. Because when you get your settlement or your verdict and you're awarded damages, that money coming in is kind of like an inheritance, right? Mm-hmm. It becomes your money. And it's going, if you're on one of these programs that has that $2,000 asset limit, you're going to get kicked off of the program. So this is another opportunity to plan ahead. The other thing that I'd like to speak to is something called supported decision making. So a lot of people that have developmental disabilities, they can range on a big spectrum of what are their capabilities? You know, what are their abilities? Not just talking about disabilities, but what are the abilities? And for people that have a lot of abilities, but still have some maybe physical limitations or other vulnerabilities that need to be protected, there's conservatorship as one option for decision making, right? Where the court appoints someone to make decisions for that person. But then there's this other option, which is called powers of attorney. It is possible for someone that has a developmental disability to sign a power of attorney, allowing another person to make decisions for them or to assist them in making decisions and help support their decision making. You don't always have to default to going to court and removing rights from the individual and placing those rights in someone else, like a conservator or guardian. Mm-hmm. And so exploring that with your attorney is super important, because why take away someone's rights and involve the court in their personal life if it's not absolutely necessary, right? Use the private options available, powers of attorney and contracts, to handle that supported decision making.
And that's why you want to talk to someone like an elder law attorney, Amelia Crotwell. Key words I'm getting here today is plan ahead.
Plan ahead. It's not something to put off anymore. You might be dreading it, but let me tell you, at our firm, at Elder Law of East Tennessee, we make it as pleasant as possible for you, right? We're going to hold your hand through the whole process. And when you're done, you're going to feel so good about having it in the rearview mirror.
And is there a website? I'm sure you have one.
Where we can
get a little more information, some phone numbers.
Sure, Michelle. Our website is www.elderlawetn.com. And our phone number is 865-951-2410. And if folks give us a call and say they have special needs, questions, they'll be routed to speak with our intake coordinator, Emma Parrott. And Emma is a social worker by training, a great listener, and she will give you a 30-minute free opportunity to talk about what's on your mind. And then she'll pair you with the best attorney for you. It might not be me. It will probably be either Bailey Schirmeyer or Julia Price. But it might be me. You never know.
Yes. The lovely Amelia, we've had the pleasure of getting to know this morning with a lot of good information about National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. It is March, but it's something you should be thinking of any time of the year.
That's right. And Special Needs Month is in October. So maybe we can come back and talk about things more at that time.
Definitely. And make sure I'm on my list, checking my things off my list and on target.
That's right.
Amelia Crotwell, certified elder attorney. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hopefully that helped out others with developmental disabilities or those caring for them.